This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, we'll hear about a new photo exhibit that looks at human trafficking and modern-day slavery. First, the nursing profession has changed a great deal in the last several decades. Even though nurses have long been on the front lines of patient care, current changes in demographics, technology, and healthcare systems are requiring them to take on an even greater role in treating patients and managing healthcare. Here to look at the changing role of nursing on this last day of National Nurses Week are University of Cincinnati College of Nursing Dean Dr. Greer Glazer and Dr. Karen Bankston, Associate Dean of Clinical Practice at the UC College of Nursing. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Greer and Karen, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Greer, what do you think are some of the biggest changes that we're seeing today in the role of nurses?
Well, as we see the whole landscape of healthcare changing, we know that we need to educate nurses so that they're able to play a really important role in increasing access, increasing the ability of people to manage their chronic illnesses, and to help people promote their health. So we are working very hard to educate more nurses for advanced practice roles. Those are nurse midwives, clinical nurse specialists, nurse anesthetists. We're working very hard to increase the use of technology in the home. So we know that people are not going to be cared for in hospitals. As you see, people are basically in a hospital for 24 hours, 48, and then they're going back to where they live. So we're educating nurses so that they're able to take care of people no matter where they are.
And I think along with that, and as she mentioned, the various types of roles that nurses are practicing now, it really has impacted the education of the nurses. And the reason why that's important is that nurses are now seen as very important members of the team, so that we're really working in teams now. And many years ago, maybe not so long ago, I don't know, it used to be that the physicians were kind of like, quote, in charge, and now they're not the captain of the ship. And the nurses are colleagues with the physicians, and the patient is also a part of the team. And a lot of times, the nurses, who are most often the closest to the patient or in the patient's family, help to navigate the patient through the maze of the healthcare system, and as a very important member of that team.
So, Karen, help me picture this. Are you saying that the nurses are playing a more and more active role? That's the biggest change?
Absolutely. The roles that the dean just mentioned in terms of nurse anesthesia and nurse practitioners and nurse midwives, those nurses are very much engaged in a very significant role in terms of providing services to them.
Well, let me just sort of talk a little bit more about that. So nurses now that are in advanced practice roles are able to prescribe medications. In the past, they have not been able to do that. They're now able to admit patients to hospitals. They're able to certify people for home care. So nurses can do a lot of the same things that physicians have done in the past. But as a team, we can use people's education and expertise to the best ability to actually serve our patients when they need it, how they need it, and where they need it.
Greer, Karen was starting to talk about the idea about educating nurses is changing as the role changes. Talk some about how the training and education is evolving to deal with the higher demands and responsibilities that nurses have.
A lot of people are surprised to know about the various educational preparations of nurses. So it's been since 1965 that the American Nurses Association said that in order to be a registered nurse, you need a baccalaureate degree. People have been working toward increasing the number of nurses that have baccalaureate degrees. That's the entry level. And then as we train people for more advanced roles, that may be a master's degree. And actually in the profession, we've developed a new degree, which is the DNP, the Doctor of Nursing Practice. That's the highest level for a practicing nurse. We also do have people that want to be researchers, a PhD. But one of the really great things that nurses now are getting from the doctoral degree, the Doctor of Nursing Practice, rather than to be educated on how to take care of each individual patient, so you learn how to take care of a patient that's diabetic or a patient that's hypertensive, we're looking at population health. How do you take care of groups of people and manage their risk? And so that's one of the great skill sets that's coming with the Doctor of Nursing Practice. Another important educational piece that they're getting is leadership development. As we said, they need to lead teams, so there's a knowledge base to be able to lead the teams. And then we're very focused on quality improvement and evaluation of care. So again, rather than look at an individual and how did that work, which that was our educational system, and we do that, the added education is helping us to evaluate outcomes for groups of people and look at improving quality of care.
Do we have enough nurses, Greer?
Yeah, that's always a perennial issue. Actually, I just got a tweet yesterday, again. The number one profession for the future for job needs still is registered nurse. And so, you know, in some areas of the country, there are shortages. Other areas, there are not. But what we do know, there are big shortages of our primary care providers to provide all of the primary care that the U.S. public needs. So we know there are not enough primary care physicians. There are a lot of primary care nurse practitioners. 85% of the nurse practitioners that are educated to be primary care providers. So if we just enabled nurse practitioners to practice to the full scope of their license, that they could prescribe, that they can admit people, if we allow that in the different states, and it's a state-by-state law, we would have enough people to be able to provide primary care if we looked at a team of a family practice physician, a team of a nurse practitioner, including, of course, social work, nutritionist. I think what we're going to see in the future, really, is an evolvement of this team-based care, no matter where people are.
I want to add to that, because I think that when we talk about whether or not we have enough nurses, people generally are asking that question in the context of our current delivery care system. And our delivery care system is an illness model, even though we call it a healthcare system. We don't really have a healthcare system. We have a system that is fundamentally based on people being sick.
So it's responding to illness.
It's responding to illness. That's absolutely correct. And so if we think about it from that perspective and we look at that, we still, from an educational perspective, are educating people to take care of sick people. You know, you might argue that, okay, well, we don't have enough people to take care of sick people, right? But if we are of the mindset that we really want to transition this illness model to a wellness model and begin to help people to stay well and stay out of the illness care system, if you will, then we believe that nurses are best suited to do that, and as a part of the team are able to help to lead, you know, the society in getting there. That then leaves those nurses who are in the hospitals and places of that nature leading teams of other types of providers in providing care to the people who are sick, which of course says, and I've spent, you know, almost my entire career in hospitals, which means that we have to develop delivery care models that utilize other types of people to help to deliver care. Now, sometimes that's a little controversial for some, but that's just one other way of looking at it.
I want to make sure I bring this up. We're not just talking about more advanced practice nurses, which we know we need more of them to provide that primary care, but we do need to make sure we have enough registered nurses that are at the bedside, who are our heroes. They are the backbone of the healthcare system. We need more registered nurses that are leading those teams in the hospitals, in the workplace, no matter where they are. But the key to that is the right nurses. And again, a nurse is not a nurse is not a nurse. We're not talking about nurses' aides. We're not talking about licensed practical nurses, although they're important as a member of the team. We're talking about registered nurses and baccalaureate prepared and higher.
So a registered nurse has a bachelor's degree. How much more training is involved if a nurse specializes in something like intensive care or surgery or obstetrics or the like?
Well, I'm going to go back for a second because that wasn't exactly correct.
Okay.
In Ohio, and it differs state by state, the majority of nurses don't even have a baccalaureate degree. They have associate degrees, which are two-year degrees. So you can become a registered nurse with a two-year degree.
Okay.
Okay. But
if you want to go into the more advanced things, then how much more does that take?
At least 2 years. It's about a 2 year, 3 year. It depends on the program.
513-419-7100 if you would like to join our conversation. And Karen, what do you think are some of the obstacles to getting enough nurses trained to meet the need for them?
Well, one of the ones that the dean and I have been working on is money. You know, it costs a lot of money to go to school. And one of the commitments that we've both made is that we really don't want our graduates to come out with all this school debt. So mostly the dean, working really hard to work with individuals to help us to provide scholarships to our students, because that is it's a tremendous need for students. The second most important thing is that you have to be really smart to be a nurse. You know, I know that, you know, there will be people that will say, well, you must not have been that smart because you're a nurse and not a physician. And the fact of the matter is I could have been a physician, too. You know, I was smart. I chose to be a nurse. And when we look at the grades, like the average grade point averages and the average ACT scores of students who come to our program and programs across the country, both Greer and I have access to information across the country, we know that the students that are in the programs, those GPAs and ACT scores are kind of aligned with students that are going to med school. Okay? So the other part is that people have to be prepared to come into schools of nursing, and that means they have to be pretty strong in science and math. And there's a lot that has to be done to ensure that that happens in our school systems.
I thought what you were going to say related to the scholarships, one of the things that we also have to worry about for all of the nurses, we want to increase the diversity of our workforce. The nursing workforce is not congruent with the U.S. population nor Hamilton County. So we're working really hard to get the right people into our programs so that they can succeed and then take care of people in their own communities.
We will continue our conversation about the changing role of nursing, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Haney, and my guest this afternoon, University of Cincinnati College of Nursing Dean Dr. Greer Glaser and Dr. Karen Bankston, Associate Dean of Clinical Practice at the UC College of Nursing. And Tracy from Oakley made a comment. She was wondering about if we could talk a little bit about the need for safe patient handling by nurses and the proper use of mechanical aids, because as she points out, nurses, they get hurt lifting patients. That's one of the hazards of the job.
That is a huge issue. So many nurses have back injuries, and it causes them to have to leave the profession a lot of times. So that's our obligation in schools, to teach safe patient handling. And there is curricula that has been developed from the American Nurse Association that most schools do use. And then there's the issue at the different institutions that people work at, that they purchase the proper equipment so that nurses don't hurt their back. So that is a huge hazard for nurses, and we're trying to do everything we can to make sure we educate our nurses about that, how to handle patients safely, and to advocate for themselves to be able to get the right equipment wherever they're going to be working.
That's absolutely correct. And having been a nurse for 40 years now, I still have a back injury from an unsafe lift that I did back in the 70s. And I would say also, to add to what Greer was saying, is that this is where nurse advocacy comes into play, and where nurses utilize the data, which is one of the things that we teach the nurses, how to use data to help to drive decision making in their organizations, because it's with that data. And when I was still in hospital administration, I used to tell the nurses, fill out your incident reports. We need to know that. You can't do anything about it if you don't know anything about it. So the use of data to help to make decisions related to having safe equipment, proper equipment, the appropriate number of people on the floor, et cetera, is very, very important.
So data and technology are having a big impact on nursing.
Absolutely.
What about the aging population? How's that affecting nursing?
Wow. I'm going to take it in two directions.
Wow.
Number one, the population in general in the United States is aging. And so we have to be able to provide practitioners that understand the needs of our aging population and actually have a desire to work with the aging population. So at University of Cincinnati College of Nursing, we do have an adult gerontology nurse practitioner program. We integrate gerontology into the curriculum. So that's one angle. The other angle that's very serious, one of the biggest reasons for nursing shortages is we don't have enough nursing faculty, and our nurse faculty and our nurses who are working wherever they are aging. So we have an aging workforce. So we are concentrating on how are we going to replace our nurses who are aging both in practice and in academe.
I think that that's really, really important what she just pointed out, because this is one of the things that when we look at the population of our country overall, that, you know, baby boomers didn't have a lot of children, so there aren't a lot of people in the Gen X group, and then, you know, the millennials and whatever the rest of them, the Ys or whoever are behind us. And then the other thing that has happened is that for women in particular, and nursing being a profession that was primarily or is primarily women, women have more options in terms of jobs, right? So when we're now faced with finding ourselves in competition with other kinds of professions. So when we're out recruiting, we're not only recruiting women, we're also recruiting men, but we're still primarily women, so it gets kind of hard when we're all aging and trying to find young people to recruit more young people.
How many men are going into nursing?
Well, we have 12% men at University of Cincinnati, and we've got 2,900 nursing students. We're one of the largest nursing schools in the entire country and a great producer. So that's 1% above the national average. So more and more men are entering. We want men to enter the profession, and they're finding very excellent careers in nursing.
We had an email from a listener who wanted to know if there's a problem with burnout because of the growing patient-to-nurse ratio in hospitals.
That's a huge issue in the country nationwide about what the appropriate ratios are, which the ratio really is dependent on the complexity of the patient and the mix of nurses. So, you know, there's burnout everywhere. Whenever, you know, it's the complexity of what you're dealing with. It's dealing with people, and people are working very hard.
You know, I think that we've been talking about this since, again, I've been a nurse for 40 years, so we've been talking about this for a long time, and I think that we still haven't come with real good strategies to balance the what I call the moral responsibilities and the economic realities of what it is that we do in providing care. And so we really have to take into consideration when we're providing care and services to people the expertise of the individuals who are providing the care. And then the second thing is, and I say this to nursing students all the time, you got to love what you're doing. You really have to love what you're doing, because if you really don't love what you're doing, it's easy to get into the burnout. I don't care what kind of job you have, whether it's nursing or...
Yeah, it's true pretty much.
It's true for anybody. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Hey, Karen, what's the future of nursing look like? What do you think?
Wow. Greer and I talk about this all the time. You know, this whole notion of nursing in the future. I would like to believe that nursing really will lead the transformation of healthcare. And that means that we move away from this notion of just taking care of people who are sick and really help utilize all of the skills that we've been educated to do from the very beginning, and that is looking at individuals in the context of their environment and supporting them no matter where they're at to be the best that they can be. I really believe that we're going to be able to get there over time, because right now our focus has been on people being sick.
So I think just to add to that, nurses are going to lead the transformation so that people get the right care at the right time by the right people.
Karen, do you think that despite all the changes, does the nursing profession, at its core, does it stay the same? Is it still the same?
Oh, yeah. I think so. Don't you agree?
Nursing has a history of caring for the whole person and the interaction between the person and the environment and the relationship that they have with the nurse. It does focus on caring. We haven't talked a lot about that, but it's based on this caring relationship that helps somebody to attain the highest level of health that they're able to do.
So no matter what changes we might see, that's always going to be the same.
I think so. I think we need to really retain that focus, because that's the essence of nursing.
Thank you for joining me this afternoon, Greer, Karen. University of Cincinnati College of Nursing Dean Dr. Greer Glazer and Dr. Karen Bankston, Associate Dean of Clinical Practice at the UC College of Nursing. Coming up, a look at Enslaved, a photo exhibit that examines human trafficking and modern-day slavery. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.